I heard an audio recording of me when I was visiting my parents last week. And it was literally, "Hey man, what are you doing? Come here."
Hey babies, welcome to the Dr. Beauty Podcast hosted by me, Dr. Anna Guanche. I'm so excited you're here. We plan to educate, inspire, and entertain you. This podcast is not just about beauty. It's about lifestyle, inspiration, life hacks, and of course, beauty. Babies, I'm so excited to be here with Kevin Sizemore. He's an American actor. He's a producer. He is a husband to Gina Lombardi, who is a celebrity fitness trainer. But most importantly, he's daddy to Gunnar Sizemore.
I did one good thing right.
I think the most important thing was Gina, actually.
Yeah, I did two good things right.
You did at least two things right, but we're here to talk about about you.
Yeah.
But we can also talk about the team.
Well, here's the thing. If you're going to be talking about me, there is no me without them.
Best.
So we can talk about me, but I have a feeling we're going to be talking about them.
Love. That's the best.
Yeah.
So that's what he announced himself as. I'm an actor, a producer, and a family man.
That's it. When you know this as well as I do with the kids, once you get older, it's all about them.
Yep.
Everything is literally about them. You have two. I have one. So both of your kids, well, one is in college. You know, right. Carlos is now out of college, but, you know, Gunner's about ready to go to college. So it's that whole... What are we going to do?
I know.
What about us? And he's like, what do you mean? I go, but where are you going to go to school? He's talking about maybe even he doesn't want to stick around here. He wants it go and flourish. And he's talking about Prague and he's talking about all these. And I'm like, dude, you can't get bed bunks in Prague. I can't go there. You need to go somewhere we can have bed bunks where your mom and I are out like here.
Yeah.
And he's like, no,
going to school with you.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's not going
to
happen.
I know how you feel. When my first child went to college, I said, I'm just going to move to wherever you go.
And then he moved all the way to the east.
All the way to the other side of the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I didn't move. And then the second one, I thought I might move. She also went to the east coast.
No, it's like it's too cold there.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in West Virginia and I miss it every day and I love the weather. But once you live here for all of these years, your blood gets really thin and you turn into a little baby.
You definitely do. Such a wimp. Actually, it's been chilly lately, and I'm freezing.
Well, it's
like
okay.
I will put three sweatshirts on and two pairs of pants to walk my dogs.
Yeah, but
and
then, after you come here, and then like an hour later, it's 80 degrees.
Well, that's true.
So you're like, wait a minute.
That's true.
If it's cold, stay cold. If it's warm, I don't have that many clothes anymore like I used to. Like I don't have those. Thick
layers
jackets.
And stuff.
No.
And you know, when I go somewhere warm, I assume it's going to cool off in the evening like it does in California, but it doesn't. And then you're like, wait a minute, it's like dark out. It's still hot. That's just so weird.
Oh, you're one of those California people. But this is not cold weather.
Yeah, well, I don't care what they think. No. Once they live here, they'll be addicted. There's a couple of bad things about it, but I'm not going to go into them.
Yeah, right now. We're not going to do that, babies.
No, babies. We're only going to do the good things. So, I want to know what projects are you working on lately? I'm so excited.
Yeah, this is cool. I just ended up finishing a project for HBO Max called The Staircase, which is the documentary is on Netflix called The Staircase, and they're doing the series, an 8-episode series.
Is it scary?
No, it's a true story. I can't tell you too much about it, but if you know the documentary, you'll understand it. It's got a great cast. Colin Firth, Toni Collette, Parker Posey, Juliette Binoche.
The whole point of this podcast is for you to tell me things other people don't know.
Because no one's, I mean, it's just us, right?
It's just me and you. Don't worry. Nobody will hear it.
No one's going to hear anything.
Nobody's going to hear
But,
nobody's going to know.
We were shooting that off and on in Atlanta for 6 months. And then in between that, I was fortunate enough to go back to one of my favorite cities, which is Nashville. And we shot a little indie film called Into the Spotlight. Kate Larson, she was, I think she's 16. She wrote this script and got it produced. And it was really fantastic because I knew some of the people on the project. I knew the director. I knew the line producer. So for me to be able to just go back and spend 2.5 weeks right in the middle of filming this was wonderful.
It was nice. I heard good things about Nashville too.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, I've been
really
fortunate
there,
to do a lot of projects there. And my son was on the TV show Nashville when he was younger. So we lived there for a while and got a chance to really see what it's about. And I have tons of beautiful, fantastic friends there. But, you know, the pandemic's been interesting. I was fortunate to pick up two or three good jobs over the pandemic.
Yeah.
And other than that, it's really the producing world that we're plowing through every single day, which is whoopee.
Yeah, waiting to see. Waiting to see. Hurry up and wait.
But, you know, I've really been supporting anything I can with Gunner, with all the projects he's shooting. And he's in film school right now in high school at Providence High School in Burbank and loves it.
What? Tell us some of his projects.
Well, he just...
That he's done and is about to do.
Yeah, he just did a film festival for LA City 35. They distributed his film. It's going to be on the Public Access Channel for a year through the Secret Movie Club. It was a film festival that they chose 11 films. And him and his buddy, Adriana Roy, it's his good buddy, they decided to do this film 4 days before the film festival. And they ended up winning the daggone thing. And it was phenomenal. It just debuted. You can find it online. But it was fantastic. He's just got a great drive. And I'm just there to support him. He's, you know, he plays in his bands and he's a musician. And he's just doing all kinds of things. And as you all know, as a parent, we support. See what works, see what sticks, and we're there.
That's right. Well, Kevin actually gave my son acting lessons at one point. So,
and I drove him all the way to the East Coast. I'm getting away from this guy.
No, he did a bunch of plays.
Yeah, he was great.
At Yale, he did like maybe 2 to 3 plays a semester.
Well, so Carlos is talented. When we get to see him in high school, it's a weird thing. As an actor, there's some very dull actors out there that there's a
that's
world
their
for
niche.
That. But he has it. But what is it? There is no, how do you define it? It is just someone who is just fun. Yeah. You want to be around them.
Magnetic.
Yeah.
And magnanimous.
And Carlos has that. Well, you have that. You're infectious. People want to be around you. They want to hang out with you. You know, they just like you. And it's twofold because they see who you are as a person and then they see who you are professionally and they go, oh, wait, that's the same person. They're cool. Because here's what you don't want. You don't want to see you in a professional setting and then see you in a personal social setting. Be like, oh, whoa, there's
totally
the act.
Different.
She puts on the act.
Yeah.
And same with like, well, your husband, Carlos, which he's put me halfway back together again because I have so many injuries.
My husband's an orthopedic surgeon.
Oh, but
Kevin likes to like stand on trash cans.
Okay. Well, hold your role there. So the way this worked out was I love playing jokes on my family. Mm-hmm. Gina hates it. Gunner, sometimes. I love it. I mean, I'm just the guy, you know, walks around the corner. What is stupid, silly stuff. Years ago, we're saying, I don't know, 8 years ago, Gina and Gunner were on their way home and I knew I was waiting outside and I saw the headlights coming because it was dark. So, like any dad would do, I jump in a trash can. I'm going to get in the trash can and I'm going to scare them. I'm going to get out and scare them. That's my plan.
Right.
But I had about 10 seconds to figure this out. And I jumped up on the top of the trash can to open it up to get in. And I forgot it had wheels. And I literally go, and I flipped up and landed on my shoulder. So when the car pulls in, the headlights, I mean, it's like a spotlight, like, dun, 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 and all of a sudden the headlights pop in, they see me, and I'm literally on the ground. I can't move.
Driving.
I'm on the ground, and I get up, and I don't even say hello, and I walk in, I'm like this, hobbling, and Gina goes, would you at least put up the trash can? She had no clue what I did. And I had to go, I mean, I tore my whole shoulder up. Carlos put me back together. Fast forward to 2 years ago, I'm working in the yard, and this is a video that ended up getting picked up and went viral, which is my claim to fame. You do 23 years of acting, you do a stupid trash can video, and you become famous.
That's how life works.
But I was doing some yard work in the front yard, and I went to push the trash can this way, and I'm very intelligent, by the way, and I stepped on the lid of the trash can, and my whole head falls in the trash can, face first. And my wife saw it on the Ring camera. So I had to tell my friends about it first because I knew what she was going to do. She said, oh, I got you. Finally. But I put it out there first and then it ends up going viral.
It went viral. We have to see this clip. Unbelievable. Yeah. So that wasn't an injury, though. That was just silliness.
That was just stupidity.
Okay, okay.
I mean, don't do stupid stuff. But it's fun, I guess. At least my son can't say I'm bored.
I want to hear a listing of pranks you've pulled on your family.
The best one that I did was on Gunner. He was about 8 years old, and it was for the holidays. I'm up on the rooftop, and I had Gina. You've been to my house in the backyard. So she's at the very end of the backyard yelling for Gunner, and he's in his underwear. It's 7:30 in the morning. And I'm up on the rooftop, and she goes, no, come closer. And when he comes closer, I had a big bucket of water from the roof, and I dumped it on him. And I put a music video in there together, and I chopped it up and edited it. And it is so beautiful. And when I did it, he just looked up at me and was so happy. Really? He just loved it. He's like, you got me, Dad. And I'm up there going, yeah, crying. And then I put the, like, I'll cry now. It's so sad. But I put the video together, and it's the most beautiful video.
Oh, my God.
Because it's about a father, and it's about his son. And it's that moment. And Gina's like, I can't believe you made me do this. But then she sees what I did in the video together, and it's, oh, it's beautiful. I mean, it's so beautiful. So.
And now I want to see that video, too.
I'll get it
I've
for
heard,
you.
I can give you guys, if since, you know, I'll give you life hacks. Let me tell you what you can do to your family members. Like, for example, you pull out your saran wrap and put it over the toilet.
You don't?
Like you've
done that, really?
At the base of the toilet, and you put the toilet seat, not the seat, the seat part down. So when they go to the bathroom in the morning, they
You've really done that? Please don't tell me you've done that.
Okay, I didn't do it, but I wanted to. I wanted to. And then the other one is you hide under someone's bed.
As the
bed.
Peanut gallery goes, yay!
You pretend that you're gone to go run an errand, and you hide under their bed until you have to be very patient until bedtime. And right when they come to go to bed, you grab their ankle.
I've done that one.
You scream that. And then they scream, freak out.
Yeah.
That's a good one, too.
I've done that one.
I'm trying to think of what other pranks I know.
Well, you know, that's when you get in trouble. You sit there and you're like, oh, I'm going to send a message. What's that? Well, that's a funny video. And you go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And then I should do that one. I should do that one. So.
Yeah, you keep a little notes page in your phone of pranks that you can do on your family members.
Hey, enough about me. This is your podcast.
This is my podcast.
Come on, man. This is fantastic.
This is the Dr. Beauty Podcast.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And it's not just about beauty. It's called Dr. Beauty Podcast, but it's about lifestyle, and it's to educate, inspire, and entertain. So,
well, I'm so glad it's not all about beauty, because when you said, hey, come on to the Beauty Podcast, I'm like, what the hell you want me on your podcast? Like, really?
But you're not going to, you know, get away with it completely, because I'm going to ask you, what's your definition of beauty?
Oh, is that now?
Yeah.
You know, that's an interesting question, because I'm going to answer that in a few different ways. I'm going to answer that as a younger Kevin.
Okay, perfect.
That's and I'll answer that as an older,
a
more
grown,
weathered Kevin.
Don't say the O word.
A more mature Kevin.
Yeah, seasoned know. Or...
Seasoned. I like that one.
Seasoned.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That might be worse than the O word.
Yeah.
How about not seasoned? How about... when you've arrived.
Okay, I'll take
it. How's that? Okay, okay. So first.
So, you know, when I was younger, I grew up in a very small town in Princeton, West Virginia. Loved it. Loved my small town. So I have a lot of friends there. And I think I was so immature at the time. It was all about visuals.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Everything was about visuals. And then you do connect with someone. You're like, wow. That person is really cool. She's great. And you don't realize at a young age that that personality of that person who they are, that's what's great. That's what's fun in life. It's
right.
I mean, the beauty is you cannot deny that people look at beauty. You see it.
For sure.
One way or the other, you see it. But it's those hidden flaws. It's, you know, I have a scar right here. I think it's my right side. And every person in my family has this scar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what separates you from someone else. It's those imperfections.
Mm-hmm.
And as you become more seasoned in life, as you arrive in life, when you get old, okay, you realize those are the important things. It's about a personality. It's about someone who can take a joke. It's about someone who matches you and makes you better. Instead of walking in front of you or walking behind you, you walk beside
right.
of each other. right?
Yeah, agree.
So I think those are the things now that's interesting, and it's those little things. It could be the dimple, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. It could be those little things that jump out at you
that you just get attached to.
Yeah,
yeah, agree, yeah. agree.
What about you? What do you think? So,
beauty, my favorite definition of beauty, and I love quotes, is beauty is being the best possible version of yourself, both inside and out. And so I do think that I do a lot of external beauty work. That's what my job is. But part of that is to unleash the beauty within, or the confidence within, so that people feel better when they look better and they just do more. They just act better.
Well, you know? My wife comes here. You know my wife very well. You've been on Gina's podcast, so
yeah.
Great.
Health Interrupted is Gina's podcast.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's doing really well. Really well.
But, you know, when she talks to you and she's here with you, it's not just about the exterior stuff. When you talk to your clients, it's almost like, it's weird, it's almost like you're magnetic, because you're feeding them information that's going to help them with their inner beauty when they leave here. You're helping them with their outer beauty.
Right.
But when they leave, they're going to be driving down the road. Instead of them getting mad at someone, well, you're blowing your horn at me, right? You've put them in a state, and this is weird, though. When you put someone in a state, they don't leave the same way they came in.
Yeah.
They might have been mad when they show up, but when they leave, they're calm. And that's because of you.
I hope I can live up to all this stuff you're saying, but I really do mention this, that our relationship is...
You have some money?
Huh?
Would you pay me for saying all this?
Oh, I got to pay him.
Yeah.
No, but I do feel like he's like, I'm putting it in my pocket. I just paid him $20 to say that. No, everything we do in the office is an energy exchange, I always say. And so it's not just about like this particular injection here. It's about how do you feel when you come in? How do you feel when you leave? So I agree with you to some extent. I hope I'm as good as you're describing. I hope you're right. I strive to be. But I do feel like no matter what, no matter who you visit or take care of as a patient, or the patient visits you, that there's an exchange between the two of you, and you either leave energized or neutral or like sapped. And I definitely try to not be the one that sapped anyone. So I try to elevate the mood and elevate the vibe. And part of the reason I love having this podcast is because I love talking to people, and I love hearing about people and learning from people. And because it all happens in a bubble in the office with patient confidentiality, I'm not able to share that the way I would like to. And a lot of the stuff that's happening is not confidential, the conversation and the things that we're sharing, but I can't really share it because I can't. But now I can bring people on the show that I've been seeing and right. have known and have valuable things to share and have that be broadcast to everyone, the part of it that people are ready to share.
Of course.
And a lot of it is, right? Fine to share.
100%. And you can look at your track record, and that kind of gives you your answer. You said to me, well, I hope I'm living up to this. Well, the track record would be, look at the course of all the people that have walked through these doors, not on the podcast. I'm talking mm-hmm. about in your practice.
Right.
And I'm curious to know how many people from years ago are still here.
There's a lot.
There's your answer. Because, listen, you know this as well as I do. If I go buy a car from someone, I'll buy a little bit more and pay more for someone than if I like you.
Right. Or know you well. Yeah.
Right. So they're coming for what you're giving them visually, but they're also coming from what they're getting from you in their soul. So there's your answer.
Thank you. Thank you. Now you're getting me all teary-eyed. What's going on around here?
I have to change the name of this podcast to Crybaby Podcast.
Crybaby Podcast. So I want to ask you this. What inspired you to go into acting?
I was a junior or a senior in high school. I always liked the idea of acting, but being from a small town, where am I going to go? There weren't any theaters where I grew up that I knew of.
Right.
small town of about 7,000 people. So it wasn't much for me to do. I played in a band. I'm a drummer. So we had these bands and we'd play all around. And then one day I realized, you know, we're playing all these shows around town and there are more people in the band than in the audience. So we must suck. So I'm like, I gotta give this up. I gotta start like a lucrative career. Like I want to be an actor. Like I want to do something that's. So I don't know what's worse, the musician or the actor. So a Maxwell House coffee commercial was coming into town, and they were looking for featured extras and all that stuff. So my parents took me over. I auditioned. I got a small part. And that day kind of changed the way I looked at what I could possibly do. And from that moment on, I went to school in Pittsburgh. I honestly thought I was studying more acting, but it was more behind the filmmaking aspect right. of it. But I was the guy that was always the guinea pig in everyone's student projects. Mm-hmm. And then I would moonlight at night. I'd, you know, an extra on a Hoffa movie or an Innocent Blood or Bob Roberts, whatever came through. And Bob Roberts with Tim Robbins, I was sitting there and I was this close to Tim Robbins. Didn't even know who he was. I had no clue who he was. But they would say, action, cut, action, cut. And we did this for 8 hours. And then at the end of the day, we made $35 and we got free food. To me, that was a big deal in college.
You're like, I have arrived.
This is great. But then I remember sitting there going, if I'm going to do this, whatever, I don't even know what this is, but whatever this is, I want to do what that guy's doing. Right. I mean, I don't want to be this guy. I want to be that guy.
Right.
And then I graduated, moved to New York. I was up there for a few months, did a few small roles. Then I bounced to South Carolina, started doing a lot of theater. And that's when I started learning the Southeast, the Atlanta market, North Carolina, South Carolina, Nashville. Mm-hmm. And I went to Nashville. I went there for a weekend and didn't have a place to stay. An agent asked me if you can stick around here, I think I can bring you on board and we can do some work. Mm. I said, well, listen, I don't have a place to stay or anything. So she goes, give me a week. So I slept in my car for a week. And this is kind of funny. I was at the Ramada Inn parking lot. And at 5:45 every morning, I'd hear slam, slam, slam. And I'd get out of my car and I'd run to the side of the hotel and I would knock on the side door, not the front door where the main man is. Mm-hmm. I'd knock on the side door and I'd say, so someone would let me in. I'd go, I forgot my key. How you doing? Would walk. And I would see they would dangle their key. Yeah. So I would see, they're in room 322. Small talk. They would check out. Then I turn and walk out the main door with them. And then 2 seconds later, I'd go, I'm in room 322. I forgot my wallet. Can I have the key back? Oh, yeah, because the guy thinks we're together.
So he
gives me the key, and I go up and I shower.
Oh, my
And
gosh.
I would, you know, hang out, watch ESPN. Was ESPN back on? Whatever was on for like 45 minutes,
That's
right?
That's sneaky.
Boom. So I did that for a
week.
A week and a half. And then I got an agent, and next thing you know, boom, I booked a commercial.
Love.
And that thing ran like crazy.
What commercial was it?
It was a Toyota commercial. My first Toyota commercial. Regina Moore was the casting director in Nashville. I'm still friends with her today. And that got me to Florida for 2 years. And then I've been in LA for 23. So I've been literally
been all over the place.
All over. And that was the best part of it. Because if I would have just moved to California, I'd have been very narrow-minded in one place. Here, there. But now, I'm fortunate to have friends everywhere.
Yeah.
And I've been able to work in many, many different states and different countries. So it's been a pretty interesting little journey.
Love it. I think everyone should live in the South at least for a period of time in their life, and then East Coast and West Coast, because the cultures are totally different. You learn something from each area. And especially if you lived in the South a little bit, you get like a softness and ease about how you can talk to anybody. Because people in the South, they'll talk to anybody. California, we freeze up. Somebody doesn't know. You start talking to somebody and they don't know you. They're like,
judgmental.
You know, I don't know who you are. Mm-hmm.
What do you want?
What do you want? Well, and you know what? Probably most of the time they do want something.
Of course.
People don't talk to you around here unless, I'm sorry to say that. That sounds cynical. Not all of California, but in the LA area, I think it's like, I have something that I want you from you. I want you to do or something is why people talk to you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they kind of like, I don't have time for you.
Yep.
So I think the South is a nice lesson in how to like be soft and
hospitality.
Conversational. And
it just came in. I sometimes my accent comes in more than others, and hospitality.
That's
right. Well, it did. It just, how you doing? It comes in. I remember when I moved to Pittsburgh from West Virginia, I heard an audio recording of me when I was visiting my parents last week. And it was literally, hey, man, what are you doing? Come here. And
you're like, who's that?
And you're right. And there's nothing wrong with it. No. Not what, because that's who I was and who I am still. But when you're going in for certain roles have a dialect and certain roles do not. Mm-hmm. So it limits you unless you get to the levels of, let's say, McConaughey, where it's like, hey, baby, it's who I am.
Yeah, right.
Right. And you just
when
do what you do.
You, or right.
And that's what you have to understand. Persona. You have to get to the point to where you go, hey, man, this is it. Yeah, I got a little dialect. If you need to change it, great. If not,
it's fine. This is how I talk. Yeah, when I went to undergrad, I was doing my pre-med classes, trying to get straight A's to get in. And I took a chemistry lab, and I would get upset when people would join a chemistry lab and not be workers, like that weren't, or they weren't, you know, going to contribute because it was a group score. Like, so if you needed your A, you had to do all the work because I was going to get my A's because I had to get into med school. That was my opinion. Or how I felt about it at the time. Well, this guy comes and he's going to be my chemistry partner. And I look at him. He's got a flannel shirt on. He's got a very deep accent, like deeper than just your general New Orleans accent. But like he's from like rural Louisiana. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, no, I got to carry this guy the whole time. He turns out to be the most brilliant.
He lit it up.
Person. He also ended up in my med school class. And he is the most brilliant person. And it's just, I think that when people aren't from the South, they don't realize that there's a like sort of a subtle preconceived notion that someone who has a deep drawl is not going to be smart.
100%. And that, if you go to New York, you think everyone there is rude.
Right.
It's not the case.
It's just the cadence or the way they speak right. or whatever. It doesn't have anything to do with how smart they are.
Now, you did see Waterboy. He wasn't. You never seen Waterboy?
That?
Come on, with Adam Sandler, you go, okay. Team, you got
to
watch Waterboy. You and Carlos watch Waterboy. It's
okay,
great.
I will.
And when you see the coach on Waterboy, he talks like that.
Yeah,
that guy didn't talk like that, did he?
Not in real life.
Okay, good. Because if he's that bad,
well,
then there's a preconceived notion there. He does, you know. But you got to watch Waterboy.
He's a very slow speaker. And I think because you slow it down in that Southern accent that you slow it down.
And
it
you're
almost
sitting there
seems
going,
like when you're from California, you're like, da, 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 get it out. What's going on? And then when I was in Louisiana, people would be like, you talk so fast.
Right.
You talk so fast. And I'm like, you talk so slow. But he was particularly had a drawl. So he was really speaking slowly. And I thought, you know, you correlate that in your mind with like not thinking quickly and not being intelligent, which couldn't be further from the truth. So
right.
I think that living in different parts of the country makes you understand that there's a lot of different ways that people sound and look and whatever. But that doesn't mean they're not 100%. Brilliant, or the opposite.
And if there's anything we've learned from this podcast, is people who have not seen Waterboy needs to see Waterboy.
Waterboy. I've never seen Waterboy. Is this like the most horrible thing? What year did that movie come out? Was it during med school by any chance?
Because I'm going to say Waterboy was at least 15 to 20 years ago.
Maybe.
Something
like
that.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah. It's really Kathy Bates, Adam Sandler. Yeah,
you know, there was a long period of time, like undergrad, med school, and residency that I didn't really watch any movies. And then I spent a lot of time watching a lot of movies to catch up, like movies that everyone else had already seen. But maybe I missed that one, Waterboy.
I guarantee your son. Ask Carlos if he's seen
you
it.
You think
both,
so?
Both. Ask both
I'm
if they've
ask
seen
the
it.
Carloses when I get home.
The Carlos twins, yeah.
The Carloses.
Again, I went back to the classic movies back in the day. I told my son, I go, you got to watch this movie, son. He's great. And I get him on the couch, and I've been talking to him for years, and he's 6, 7, 8 at the time, and now I don't want to watch it. And then he's about 10, 11, 12. I finally got him to watch Cannonball Run.
Oh, that's a good one.
When's the last time you've seen it?
It's been a long time. Really
don't,
long.
Don't watch it again.
Why?
It's so bad.
It's so bad.
It is so bad. I thought it was the best movie ever. And we're watching it. And we're so excited. And Gunner's like, oh, okay, we're going to watch it, Dad. And we're 15 minutes in. And he literally goes, does it get funny, Dad?
Oh,
and I'm like,
God.
Yeah, it does.
Do you guys ever go back and watch something and you think that you used to think it was funny and now you look at it like, what the heck was I thinking?
It does. Now, Smokin' the Bandit lives up. It's still good. Yeah. But this one, it just, I mean, the outtakes were great, but that's at the end of the movie. We're already 2 hours in.
Yeah.
So, you know, my son, his genre of movies is so everywhere. He's a Criterion Collection guy. He watches movies I've never even heard of. And I'm more like Roadhouse.
When I go back to watch movies, I'm always like, if I'm going to catch up with a movie from like 20 years ago, 15 years ago, it is moving so slowly for me.
Yeah.
Remember when they would do those pauses and look at your face with the expression for like
almost like a soap opera. Yeah.
And then I'd be like, I get it. They're upset. Yeah. Like, I guess I'm not the most patient person, huh?
Yeah.
I feel like we should go back and re-edit those. And the other thing we do now is we
not reshoot them, but re-edit them.
No, re-edit them.
Yeah.
And then and they'd probably be like a fraction of the length that they used to be. But the other thing, let's do that.
Let's do one of those. Let's practice. Let's practice right now. So
I think and the other thing is
and I'm gonna respond to your question. Give me a question.
I just drew a blank. What should I ask you?
Anything you want.
What's the meaning of life?
Okay, here we go. Ask me the question. Here we go.
What's the meaning of life?
I don't know. Exactly right. I mean, it's like.
I can't.
Are you still there?
Are you still there? You know which one's really bad like that is Eyes Wide Shut. With Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
And then there's all these scenes where they're having a conversation. And it's not just a pause between sentences. It is pauses between words. Like, and I was wondering. I'm like,
right.
I will twitch. I will start. I'm like, I can't finish this movie. But what I think happens now in movies, because we have such a short attention span, is there's three or four storylines going at the same time.
Right.
And you go from one story to the other story to the other story. And then that way you don't get bored.
I won't mention the movie, but I saw a film a few years ago. It's a very popular film. And there, I was blown away. There were seven storylines within the movie. And I remember watching the movie and they stuck on one storyline for about 12 to 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then they had to do the other. By the time they fished back around, I looked at my wife and I'm like, who are they?
Oh, you forgot.
I forgot who they were. But they didn't need all that. It's like, you know, you can tell a story without having to. But anyway.
It can be too many. I think seven storylines, maybe three or four storylines that are interwoven.
Right.
For me, is probably my ideal is to see
if they come together. Yeah, if they come together.
Yeah, and then you know, almost some of the great novels are like that too. But like when it's just linear, it's like, oh my god, first I get bored. I'm easily bored.
We hit our movie section.
So movie section's over. So now it's time to ask you for your favorite inspirational quote. Do you have one?
Yeah, well, do unto others.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's literally, a good one, and that's not the first person on my podcast who said that.
No, I think it's again, once you become a little bit more mature in living, you think that way. But I've always kind of felt that way. Just do unto others. Because how would you want someone to treat you?
You know, I honestly even take that a step further in some ways. It's like sometimes people wouldn't treat you well, but you're still not going to stoop to that level. So you do unto others as you would have others do unto you. But if they are mistreating you or not treating you fairly, that doesn't mean you get to go back and do that back to them. Because that's still you.
Yeah, don't you're do the revenge that. Thing.
Yeah, the revenge thing.
And that's so easy to do, right? Because it makes you feel better.
For a moment.
Right.
And then
when you leave, you think back on that and you go, oh, I could have handled that a little bit differently.
So somebody was saying like mean things about medfluencers recently. And the whole page was dedicated to insulting medfluencers, which I'm not really out to be a medfluencer, but that's what they label me. If you have a lot of followers and you're influential and you're a medical doctor. So anyway, this guy is a dermatologist and he's like his whole page is dedicated to teasing, insulting anyone who's like social media, TikTok, this and that. And then I see this picture of him and acting all whatever. And I put one word comment on there. It wasn't nice. And that it was Napoleon. I just put Napoleon. because he looked like he was being like high and mighty and whatever. And I thought, God, you had a lot of nerve making a whole page out of insulting people. And then I went and saw a patient. I thought to myself, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that. I came back and I took down the comment, but by then he had seen it and reposted it on his stories. He got so upset. And I thought to myself, first of all, I shouldn't have done that. Because that's stooping to the level, right?
Of course.
But second of all, do you see how someone who spends their entire time making fun of and harassing other people and teasing and insulting can't handle a one-word comment that was on there for 1 hour? So it's like this whole thing, like, don't put your mind to what somebody else is doing and don't react to them and try to, like, rise above it. But I guess I had my little weak moment there.
Well, and just because he says it doesn't mean it's true.
Oh, that's true. It's like, know the source, whatever, that's his opinion.
But have you also noticed that anything that's put out in the media – is you're automatically guilty. You're not innocent until proven. It's you're, something goes out. It's like,
right.
Oh, well, she's a med, what are they called?
Medfluencer.
She's a medfluencer and da-da-da.
Like who said that?
Right.
That's not what I would label myself as anyway, but I just think it's funny. Like I got like looking through all these insults and everything. Yeah. I was like.
Right. Hey, well, listen, People love to tear you down.
Uh-huh.
It's easier for them to tear you down over them saying, you know what? Do what you do, girl.
Yeah, but look, my whole thing is like when you look at that page, you're like, this guy's dedicating all his time and using his platform to insult other people. And then I thought, well, when I look at my platform, I use it to educate. I put injection videos of what's possible. I put inspirational quotes. I do like all different things. And I think to some extent, your page on social media, if you have one, is a reflection of what you're about, right? Or what are you about? I like to make people laugh. Mm-hmm. I like to like do beauty treatments. Mm-hmm. I'm a doctor. And then I like to give people advice. And then I love inspiration. So I said, you know, I don't even know why I did that. But it just shows you like sometimes you have a weak moment and you do something that is uncharacteristic. And that would be something I'll try not to ever do again.
And that guy, page is, not even gonna tell you what it is. Because we don't care.
We don't care. Block and delete. Block and delete, babies. Block and delete. Don't engage. But anyway, okay, so I wanted you to spin the wheel of misfortune. No, I'm just kidding. Let's see what we're gonna do to Kevin today. Okay, I'm holding it so you can spin it.
Okay, what do we got here? What is this?
This is the wheel, and you spin it, and whatever you land on, we have some form of torture for you. You're going to spin it more than once.
So. Which one is the $1 million one?
Don't overthink it. Just spin. Okay.
Do I spin this way or that way?
There is no $1 million one.
Gosh.
That would be nice.
Here we go.
If it did, I would spin it on the top.
Here we go.
What does it say? Oh, derm definitions. Ah, should we do that one? That's the one where I give you a word that's in dermatology.
Good luck.
And then you define it based on what you think, what you think that word means.
Yeah, this is you're going to have some people going, man, who the
heck
is that
guy? Okay, how about molluscum contagiosum?
How do you spell it?
molluscum contagiosum.
Okay, now, and how...
You know, I won the spelling bee in fifth grade, so.
So my next question would be, how do you use it in a sentence?
See, he's trying to do this because he's deflecting while he tries to figure out what molluscum contagiosum is.
I already forgot what it was.
You don't even have to know for sure what it is. You just have to say what you think that sounds like.
Give me, what is it again?
Molluscum contagiosum.
Molluscum. So I'm gonna guess it's something that could be contagious.
Yes, absolutely. You got that right.
Molluscum. I'm going to say it is a lip infection.
Oh. Well, no. It's a wart, type of wart that's very contagious, and little kids give it to each other all the time. But in grown-ups, it's considered an STD.
No way.
Depending on location.
Oh.
Wait.
I got half of it right.
Yeah, you did. Good job.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. So.
We don't need you to be right. We just want you to be funny.
Yeah. Big money. Come on.
Big money. $1 million.
No whammies.
Free association.
Okay.
I'm going to say a word and you're going to say the first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready? Flummoxed.
Yes. Repeat?
flummoxed.
Bubbles coming out of like a bottle of water.
Okay. Flummoxed means when you're like confused about what to say next.
I was.
Ah, flummoxed. There we go.
I was.
Okay, ramshackle.
Confused.
Okay, there you go. There you go. He's going to be confused for all of them. Portal.
Potty. Got to go.
Oh, potty portal? Portal potty?
Portal potty outside. Work has got to drop a deuce. Go.
Vortex.
Solar systems, like the vortex, when people get sucked into a vortex.
I know, but you're not giving me definition. You give me a one-word association.
Give me next another word.
Next word. Next word. Director.
Actor.
Oh, yeah. What about aloof?
Dull.
Squeeze.
Tight.
Okay, I'll stop talking.
You can get in trouble on these.
I know you can. That's why we do it. Like juice.
Bucket.
That's what came to mind?
Yeah, I don't know.
Ay, ay, ay. Obelisk.
I guess because I'm looking over there and I see a...
Oh, he sees a bucket.
I'm keeping my eyes closed for this one.
You know what? How about obelisk?
Elbow.
Why?
Because of elbow. Obelisk.
Traffic.
Jam.
Jam. Okay, perfect. All right. Give me this
game
next spin.
Sucks.
Next game. That's a good spin, too. Love it or hate it. Love it or hate it.
On the doctor. Oh, here we go.
Okay. Love it or hate it. 2021.
Oh. Okay. This is going to be weird, but I'm going to say love it.
Awesome. And
no explanations, though, right?
You can explain.
Look what, I mean, it's been horrible
yeah.
in so many ways, but it's what do you get out of it?
Right.
And being home with your family mm-hmm. and being able to just, we didn't know our neighbors and they were there for a few years
right.
until the pandemic. Mm-hmm. We had no clue. That's it. We got a wave. Now, their son was applying to high school. He goes to my son's high school now.
Love.
Now we become really good friends. Stuff like that. It's good in that area.
It's been good. It's been good in some ways. It's been bad for many, many people. Don't get me wrong. But as far as having your family together, realizing who your nucleus is.
Yeah.
Sort of taking it down to brass tacks of who's there when the hits the fan and all that. So that's something that we really got an understanding of. And we also got to know each other better. Because our family, you know, the kids were in college, but they came home. So 5 months, it was nonstop togetherness again, which we may have never had again.
100%.
So I say all the time, I'm so lucky. I feel so lucky. And the kids are like, I know. You told us this.
And you'll be like, okay, when you're older, you'll understand what
I'm talking about. You'll understand. You don't understand it now. But like we did, like we cooked together. We learned how to play poker together. We did
TikTok videos.
TikTok videos, drinking night. We had drinking night. Do that when your kids. Give it a few years. Don't tell the people. We were drinking water.
Yeah.
And then okay. So love it or hate it, man bun.
Hate it.
Hate it. Me too.
No explanation. Just don't like it.
It depends on what man it's attached to, but still.
Yeah, I mean, hey, dude, if you're rocking your man bun, good for you. It just doesn't work for me.
I got you. What about TikTok?
I love it to watch it, but I won't do it. So that means I hate it because I think it's funny.
Yeah.
But not for me.
Yeah. I love TikTok, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But TikTok has like an energy to it and a creativity to me that that Instagram doesn't have. Like when I go back to Instagram, I find myself bored because it doesn't have that animated quality to it. And there's something about TikTok. It loads immediately. You never have to wait for anything to load. It just is there. And the sound quality is really good. So I don't know if that's part of how it gets you hooked. But the fact is you're constantly being fed information and videos quickly. And there's no part where you have to wait, which is probably why I like it.
Yeah, and your buddy back in college would have hated it. He'd been like, this is so fast. What are you doing?
My chemistry partner would have been like, what the heck is this?
No, but having
this
said that, I just...
This is moving too fast.
But having said that, I just sent over two TikTok videos to my son this morning.
There you go.
So, yeah, I mean, it's like I love it because of what it does. It's fun, but not for me.
Yeah,
it's like the man bun.
To make them.
It's like the man bun.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, it's relatable. You'll see, like, something and be like, ha, this reminds me of
100%.
You, and you send it. Okay, Tesla.
Hate it. Sorry.
Gasp.
I just don't, I mean, it's okay. I think there's too many of them now. It's like it's become watered down.
Okay, red lipstick.
Love it.
You do?
Not super fire engine red.
Yeah.
Like, just like, hey, you see me? Not like, boom, you know?
Okay, gotcha.
I mean, not for me. I don't want it for me.
Oh, no, I got you. I get you. Don't worry. Cold weather.
Love it. Love it.
Wait, how do you feel about cold weather?
Love it.
Like, do you mean snowy or just cold California weather?
No, snow.
Snow.
I want it to be when you walk outside, it's, you see the breath, it's
winter wonderland.
Thermal underwear, cold.
And what about rain?
Love it.
Okay. Deal, agree. What about that show Money Heist?
Love it.
I do too.
Yeah.
It's almost over. I only have two episodes left.
Yeah.
Money Heist, you guys, if you haven't seen it, you have to see it. Wow.
Let me ask you a show. Have you ever seen Breaking Bad?
You know, I watched one episode.
You got to give it 3 or 4 because Gina had to give it 6. And then she was hooked.
Really?
Oh.
I heard it's very clever. The characters are very well sort of developed. But when he like uses a bike lock to strangle someone.
Oh,
like, I just was like, I don't know if I can. And then the acid, he pours acid on the body
to
melt
it. No, it gets worse.
I said, I don't, you know what? I get nightmares from stuff like that. But on the other hand, I can watch Game of Thrones. Because Game of Thrones, their special effects, like when they cut the head off and stuff like that, I'm like, that's not what it looks like. Like it doesn't even make me have nightmares at all because like I didn't think any of the scenes of the bloodshed looked real to me.
Well, here's a question about Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
It's not real. It's fake.
Are you sure?
No, it's television.
That looks
fake.
Real. That looks real.
It's okay.
It looks a lot more real.
No, it's okay.
Like you could totally imagine people like actually in this country being like that, but with Game of Thrones was just totally BS.
True.
like you can
no
literally.
No one wears a wig like that.
Yeah. No one wears a wig like that.
No one has a man bun like that.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'll try it again. I got to go you, 6 episodes.
Maybe 4. There's one episode where, without giving it away, where someone falls through the ceiling in a tub. And that's the episode where Gina goes, oh, no.
Right.
And then we were like, no, you got to give it one more. And after that, she goes, this is the best show I've ever seen.
Huh.
And, you know, it's one of those series. And it's more popular now than it was when it was on the air, which was probably 10 years ago. I don't even know. But it's going to be 30 years and still, it's like Seinfeld. It's just
going to reinvent
itself. Yeah. It's just, right. It keeps reinventing itself. Yeah. And it's just good.
Well, I will definitely check it out. That's what I want. I love that. I've met Bryan Cranston like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. Well, here's a Bryan Cranston story for you. I'm at Bally's, when Bally's was kicking in Studio City where I used to live when I first moved here. And I'm working out. And, hey, you want to work out? Yeah, we swapped out and didn't know the dude. Hey, what's your name? Bryan. Hey, Kevin, nice to meet you. Hey, you an actor, Kevin? Yeah, what are you, Bryan? Yeah. Cool. What are you working on, Kevin? Oh, I think I was doing a soap at the time or something. What about you, Bryan? Well, I don't know. Literally, just yesterday I got cast in this show, and I don't even know if it's going to make it, man. Oh, what's the title of it? It's some show called Malcolm in the Middle. He said, I don't even know what's going to happen with it. I'm like, well, hey, good luck. And then next year I'm going, oh, dear God. Like, you just hit the gold mine. And then he just kept going and going and going. And I have some friends that are really dear friends with him. And he's regarded as just one of the nicest people. Just, he's who you would hope he is when you meet your idol.
Yes. When you meet him, he's very personable, very kind. Yeah, definitely.
That's good to hear.
Definitely. We used to have, speaking of the gym, we used to have The Rock in our neighborhood. I lived in Hidden Hills. And The Rock would be there. And then here, I'm in Calabasas. So Calabasas and Hidden Hills, the same zip code. So people would say, you know what? If you want to catch The Rock working out, he goes to like this local gym. And he's there almost every day at 10 a.m. But I'm always working at 10 a.m. So people would literally go to the gym at 10 a.m. to see The Rock lifting weights and working out. And they would come back and report it to me like, and today he was doing this. And today I said hi to him. And this was like maybe six or seven of my patients that would come in and tell me that they literally went to that gym and went at that time because they could see The Rock working out.
God, I hope no one ever goes to a gym.
He's a very nice guy too. I've met him and he's very kind in person too. Yeah.
That's great.
So cool.
That's great because, you know, you don't want to meet the idol that you've always looked up to and be disappointed because that, especially if you're a kid.
Yeah.
That just destroys you.
Oh, no, no. My kids met him too and they were like, wow, he was very nice. Yeah.
Awesome.
Very
That's good
sweet.
To hear.
That's the way to be. I have seen actors that seem very low energy and seem very like quiet. And then as soon as the lights hit them, they're a completely different persona pops out.
Yeah.
And then when the lights turn off, it goes back to the way it was, which I don't know if that's a bad thing or if that's just an unleashing thing. Like, this is my persona versus my personality. Not that they're mean, but they're more introverted than you realize.
Well, there's a difference between being introverted and maybe not loving the camera and the public spotlight.
Right.
Because I've said this to my wife, the older I get, the more I go, I just like to chill out and not go out as much. Younger, you know, and I'm in my 30s. It's like, hey, let's go there. Let's so and so's having a party. Let's go there, and now it's more like so and so's having a party. Let me know how it is.
As you know what that means? That means you're getting.
Yeah, but I just
you know how those guys don't want to go anywhere after a while.
Well, it's true, and it's
don't
and it's,
do that.
It's not that.
But okay, I'll say one thing. The pandemic has made people a lot more uncomfortable about going out.
True.
Like just, not just because of the virus, but just their whole lifestyle and their comfort zone has become at home.
It's shifted.
It's shifted, and it's going to take a while for people to like have that comfort level of going out, I think, because they're kind of like, you know, I think I'm going to chill with my dogs.
You just hit something there because how many pandemic dogs, right?
The dogs are not used to being alone. We have to babysit our dogs, and if we leave, and we feel bad leaving them because they're not used to being left at all.
We did something that was really good with our dog, Meadow. We made sure that even if she was home during the pandemic, we would leave on purpose.
Really?
To make sure that she didn't get – and again, she's like, wait, well, you guys are still here? What's going on? You're leaving? To make sure she didn't have that.
Right.
They're like babies. They're like kids.
For sure.
So, and we have a dear friend, Randy, and we take his dog and they take our dog. Like last night, we had an event with some friends. Well, we're gone for 5 hours and we go, well, Meadow's fine.
Right.
But why not go hang out with Riley?
Have a play date. Yeah.
And then, you know, it's easy. So that's
what
fun.
Happens when you get to know your neighbors.
Yes. After 4 years.
Same.
That's sad.
We're the same. My neighbors don't talk to me. We're in Sherman Oaks. And I go, you wish you knew us.
Yeah.
You have a dermatologist and an orthopedic surgeon.
And hey, you break a hip. Who are you going to call?
Who are you going to call when you dislocate your shoulder?
Standing on a trash can.
And then like how many moles do you have that you want to, I have a mole, I have a rash, wrinkle. Yeah, right.
Yeah, but sorry, this door is shut on you.
They just don't know what they're missing is the problem. No. So you guys, if you're listening out there, please be more neighborly, okay?
Yeah.
Be nice to your neighbors and 100%. Support each other, but don't be that nosy neighbor, okay? Because that's the other extreme. There's always like that point of too much
crossing
stopping
the line.
By.
Like the guy who gets out and always is like with the leaf blower blowing the leaves all up in the block.
Looking in all the windows. And
yeah. I mean, anybody who likes a leaf. Well, I do like the leaf blow quite a bit. That's my favorite thing to do. So
you do?
Oh, God. I love leaf blowing.
For sure. You've turned into an old man.
I love a friggin'.
He doesn't want to go out anymore. Hey, and he wants a leaf blow.
You give me a leaf blower and leave and put me on some headphones.
Yeah.
And I'll play, you know. I mean, the Bellamy Brothers or whatever. I'm all over the Mac Davis, you know, the old school stuff.
And you're just
a T. Graham Brown, all my classics, right? And I'm just vibing, and I'm just singing to the top of my lungs, and neighbors are like,
"Hello,
the hell are you doing?"
And you're wondering why they haven't spoken to you,
right? But but normally I leaf blow literally like right in front of the house because I like a clean street.
Yeah.
I just think it looks nice, right? But then my wife will come out, and it'll be 30, 40, 50 minutes later, and I'm three blocks up the road, four batteries, because I take a battery, I have a belt with batteries on them. So that one, and now they've all four died. So what am I doing? I go to my neighbor I just met, and I knock on his door, and I go, "Do you have any extra batteries?" And I borrow their batteries, and I clean the whole street, and I feel like I've really accomplished something.
That's good. Yeah. You guys, his address is.
Exactly. But that's what you do as an actor when they don't have a job. It's like, well, I guess I'll go to leaf blow. All right. This is going to be a fun day today. No work, so I'm going to leaf blow the street.
Well, that's not going to last very long because you're – new project.
Yep.
What's the name of it? Or can you say the name of it?
Well, not on that one, but we have three projects now that we're playing as on the producing side. That's really fun, and we'll see where they go. It won't be until next probably February.
So we can't tell anyone what to look
for.
No,
yeah, but and I'm not trying to do what these. A lot of my friends go, "Hey, I just booked a job. Can't tell you what it is. Info coming soon." I hate those posts. It's
dude.
If you book a job, congratulations, you booked a job, say it. But don't tell me I booked another job and it's coming soon to be continued.
I think the reason they do that is because they're excited and they don't want to tell someone.
Well, then don't tell me until you know.
People may have signed a confidentiality agreement.
Then shut up. Tell me when you know. Don't make me go, because you, what am, hey, I just booked a job.
I do that.
You know, but no, listen.
Don't I do that?
You don't, no, you're not an actor.
Oh, I'm not an actor, but like if there's some project coming soon, we'll be like, coming soon.
But think about this. As an actor, let's say you book 10 jobs a year, and 10 times a year you go, just book the job, info coming soon. My response is, what is it?
Well, let me know what it is, what, or when it's time, you could tell me. Or
but,
whatever. Yeah.
But if you say, hey, just book the job, next week it's coming out. Great, it's next week.
Yeah.
Not,
it's coming at some point. I got you. Okay, I'll try to stop doing that.
I didn't know you did that.
I do it sometimes. Not very often.
You don't do it anymore.
I'm not going to do it anymore, though.
And you're going to start leaf blowing. You and Carlos are going to be
gonna
like...
I'm going to leaf blow my street.
You and Carlos are going to get like tag team leaf blowing machines.
We're going to have a race. Who gets to the end of the block first? That's a long block. Well, thank you for joining me. This has been amazing.
Thanks for having me.
It's a journey.
It is, and it's great.
A conversation.
And what's great about this is, you know, we're talking about just stuff, but we know each other.
Yeah.
And now we know each other even better because there's things that we've never discussed before.
That's true.
You never knew I liked the leaf blow. Come on.
No, I did not. That was a very important piece of information. Yeah. Now I know what to get you for Christmas.
I need, like, the Big Mac Daddy battery because the other ones, they just don't work.
Yeah.
It lasts 20 minutes. I need 45-minute batteries.
Okay, 45-minute battery. What's your leaf blower brand?
Ryobi.
Ryobi.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My buddy Patrick
Consider
works at the Ryobi place. So
we just you get a special discount from him?
Well, better now, Ryobi.
Yeah, Ryobi, Ryobi, Ryobi. Say that three times really fast. How do you spell that?
R-Y-O-B-I, I think.
Oh.
I should have asked you.
I have no idea how to spell that because I've never used a leaf
blower.
I have never used a leaf blower in my life. Not once in my entire life have I used a leaf blower.
That's got to change. It changes
that
your
life.
That
has to change.
It changes your life.
Yeah, I can't live like this. I can't go on like this. Look at him telling me, I got to watch Breaking Bad and do leaf blowers.
Yeah, that's great.
That's our life hacks for you guys. I was going to ask him for life hacks, but I think that the 45-minute battery is probably his life hack.
That's it. I'm a very dull person. I mean, it's not... I mean, listen, I don't have much going on in my life, so...
You're like, I don't want to do things faster. I need to, like, draw them out a little bit longer.
Slow it down.
Slow it down.
Slow it down.
Like your accent.
Slow it down. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you were here. That's a wrap, babies. Thanks for joining us.